FBI data released last month show an uptick in reported hate crimes. Nationwide, 2016 saw more than 6,100 incidents. That is up by more than 270 from the year before. Georgia reported a drop in hate crimes during that period. But a recent ProPublica investigation finds many police departments, including Georgia's, aren't trained to identify and investigate hate crimes. So some may go unreported. ProPublica reporter A.C. Thompson joins me from New York. Good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
What I always like to do when talking about a big issue is defining the terms that we're going to be using for the next 10 or so minutes. So for our audience, can you break down for us what is a hate crime?
Yeah, well, the first thing to say is that Georgia doesn't have a hate crimes law. Most states do, but the federal definition applies in Georgia. And that says basically you cannot commit a crime that is motivated by your bias or hatred towards the victim's identity in terms of race, religion, ethnicity, sexual orientation, etc.
And there's two aspects to a hate crime. There's not only proving that the hate crime, that the crime itself existed, there's the intent. Talk about how complicated this is for law enforcement officers and prosecutors to prove intent.
Exactly. That's the thing that confuses a lot of people is you know, saying something mean and racist towards somebody is generally protected by the First Amendment and generally not a crime. Saying something mean and racist to someone while you are assaulting them, that is typically a hate crime. So the hate crime is sort of looking at the motivation that attaches to an underlying crime, vandalism, assault, intimidation. That's the hate crime part. And that's the hard thing to figure out for police detectives. This is one of the only areas of criminal law where investigators really have to get inside the motivation, inside the mindset of the criminal and be able to prove that beyond a doubt in the courtroom. Most of the time, all you need is evidence. This person attacked that person. We've got the evidence. That's exactly what happened. You don't have to say why the person attacked the other person.
You spoke to Brian Levin, who oversees the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. In 2015, he gave an interview with the Tavis Smiley Show. Levin said, "We are all subject to bigotry."
Prejudice is an attitude. Consists of three things: emotion, belief system, and how we manifest it, how we act out on it. And we all have to examine, wait a minute, you know, what are my feelings driving here, and what are the belief systems I'm relying on?
Is he suggesting that people may, you know, commit a crime and may not even understand their own intentions as it being a hate crime?
Yeah, and I think he's looking also at sort of the submerged internal racism and various other isms that may propel us. But definitely there are moments when people lash out. They engage in what will later be determined to be a hate crime, and they're not even necessarily aware that that is what they're doing.
So why is it so important that police officers get this kind of training? And what did you find when you called police departments all around the country in terms of how they're training officers?
There's sort of two parts, right? And the first part is that we know that the federal statistics are terrible. They are abysmal. They do not capture the true scope of the problem. At least 12% of the departments around the country do not participate in the hate crimes tracking program. And many, 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 many more submit faulty data. They submit incomplete, incorrect data to the federal government. So the first part is that we don't know the full extent of the problem, and that's insane. We should be able to capture that information in this modern technological information age and have a true sense of the problem. The second piece is this. There are a lot of states, and Georgia is one, that do not train officers on any kind of regular basis as they're coming onto the force and how to investigate these difficult, complex, and terrifying crimes. So when we were reaching out to the police training councils around the country, we found that a lot of states have no mandate, to either a legal mandate or a policy mandate that says, hey, every recruit coming into police academy before they join the force needs to know about hate crimes. They need to know the law. They need to know how to respond. And they need to know how to make the community feel as at ease as possible in a difficult situation.
Ellen Vest is a detective with the San Diego Sheriff's Department. She trains fellow officers to identify, investigate, and report hate crimes. Here she is in a documentary produced by the California-based group Not in Our Town. In this clip, we also hear her leading a class.
I think the most satisfying thing in my job is getting people to recognize, getting patrol to recognize gangs and to recognize what they're out there doing.
The white signifies that he's a racist skinhead, but he hasn't brought blood. With the red shoelaces signifies he's brought blood. If you see two of these guys walking down the street, be afraid of the white laces. He's the one that's going to do the beating to earn his red laces.
AC Thompson, what is an example of how hate crime training should be done so officers know what they're looking for?
Well, the first thing is three different states that we talked to only spend about 30 minutes or less on the subject. So the first thing that you want to do is spend more time than that. And typically 2 to 4 hours is what experts have said is a good duration of time to spend on it. So the first thing is time. The next thing that you want to do is the sort of thing that the detective was talking about in that clip is sort of looking for the subtle clues that this may be a hate crime and that the person, the perpetrator may be a hate group member or, an unaffiliated hater. So, another example would be the Norse runes are often used by hate groups as a symbol of their affiliation with those hate groups. That's a thing that the typical officer may not notice because it's not a swastika. These are the kind of things you want to train about. You want to train about asking the victims questions that will help get to the motivation of why this might have happened, what words were said preceding this, and to recognize if the assailant is using particular phrases, that those may be indicators of a hate crime. Beyond that, it's just simply taking the victim seriously. We've interviewed police trainers who said, we don't really pay attention to what the victims say. It's not that important. How would they possibly know why their assailant attacked them? And that's just wrong. The truth of the matter is that overwhelmingly, the victims are the number one source of information in a hate assault or an act of intimidation.
AC Thompson, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's ProPublica reporter AC Thompson. You can find a link to this story at gpbnews.org. We asked for comment from police departments in Savannah, Athens, and Atlanta, but none provided a comment.